And welcome to the new Coast City Comics podcast. This is the Coast City Comics Club. I'm Tristan.
And I'm Chad.
And that's Chad over there. You can't see it, but he's in his garage and it looks like a hostage video.
It's really, I've been kidnapped, though. Amazing. That's the thing.
Yeah. By me. Yeah. So that you could make from a distance.
He wants little money and no one is responding. That's the problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, say it's the market.
It's, you know, it is a buyer's market for kidnapping.
In this chats. COVID age, good so, luck doing a kidnapping.
Yeah, good point. Nobody wants any part of that. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my business.
So today, none of my business. Yeah. Oh, so today we're going to be talking about one of the most wonderful of the X-Men comics from this era. This is X-Men 244, the first appearance of Jubilee, is what we chose today, and I was very excited because this is the basis for that first episode of the X-Men 90s cartoon that was so awesome. And she doesn't say the line that everybody wants about the mall baby eating chili fries, but you know, it's still okay.
Yeah, to be fair, I never read this, so this is the first time I've ever read this.
I have read it before, but it's the first time that I gave it this kind of actual attention.
Yeah.
I'm sure I distractedly read this issue at some point when I was going through my massive read every X-Men comic in order phase. But this is right in the middle of like massive plot lines. There's like several big things going on in X-Men at this juncture. And so this is when they're in Australia after fighting the Reavers and taking over their command post or whatever you want to say. The Reavers lived in this little town and the X-Men beat the ever living crap out of them and stole their houses. But to be fair, they were really, really bad people. So it was okay.
Those are the half tank, half people, right?
Yes. I don't know that they were half tanks the first time. I think they became, I can't remember.
Half tank, half
it's
people,
been a long time.
All racist. That's all.
They were, well, interestingly enough, I think the implication was that they were rapists, but they weren't allowed to say that in the comics code, but it was like heavily inferred.
So. Still not great.
Yeah, so it was okay that they killed them and stole their houses. So fuck those guys. And the other big plot line that's going on here is the Miss Marvel storyline, where Carol Danvers is in, like, her, she has been taken out of her body, and for, I believe, her body is gone. Like, I think she is dead for all intents and purposes. Because when she comes back, this is confusing because it has something to do with that device that they have. I think it had something to do with oh boy. I think it's one of those like mystical Marvel items that can do confusing things. And I believe it teleports you. And I think in this case, it like recreates your body and somehow you lose your memory too is the other thing. Very, very
there's always
strange.
A catch with this hardware, I'm telling.
Yes, it's called the Siege Perilous. And it's some sort of weird artifact that teleports you, but it has a price, and I think it's like memory wiping. Weird. So that's a very odd little bit of this. I don't know a lot about the Miss Marvel story arc. I remember essentially it was Mystique. She was dating someone called Destiny, I think. If I remember correctly,
but that,
she was dating a woman named Destiny,
right?
Because
that,
which is interesting.
That's come back in the Dawn of X stuff.
Yes, and so when she was dating Destiny, Destiny had some sort of psychic abilities or some sort of premonition abilities, and she saw that in the future, Miss Marvel was going to hurt Rogue, hurt her daughter Rogue. And so she was like, well, I'm going to stop that by sending Rogue out to kill her. And so she sent her out to basically do what she did.
Yep.
Which was essentially touch her and absorb all of her powers and abilities until she was pretty much gone. But the payment for that, for her killing Miss Marvel, essentially, is that now Carol Danvers is inside her head. Her full personality is there and is able to just override her and take control whenever it feels like.
And she's also seemingly more likable to the rest of the cast.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone is really excited when Rogue goes away and Carol Danvers comes out. They're like, oh, thank God she stopped throwing things and being a brat.
Yeah.
And
all. But it's a real critique of also, Rogue there.
True. But again, you got to remember that Rogue has been dealt a really, really poor hand in this, because she is, everyone's always like, oh, you know, they're always saying that Rogue is a murderer and all that shit for this. Mm-hmm. It's like, she's basically, I mean, like all X-Men, it's hard to call her specifically a child soldier, but I mean, she was very young with this whole thing. Like, I think she was maybe not a preteen, but I think she was like 15, something like that. You know, she was definitely not very old in this storyline.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think that's, it's a bummer all around for everyone. So, one of the things,
the X-Men, another one of the it's things. It's a bummer all around.
It's a bummer all around. And also this, man, comedy in this, as opposed to being, it was half and half, very straightforward, Claremont doing like just his heavy-handed, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, everybody's got really like important problems all the time, and straight up like goofy comedy.
Yeah,
like this stuff could be straight out of one of those. A lot of the look, like the Silvestri art in here, when they go goofy with the Ghostbusters guys, the
M Squad, love them.
It looks like a lot of the stuff that was in Spawn, like when he would draw the cops in Spawn. Yep. That it has that same, like, they're just very goofy and distended faces, and it's, I mean, they are the Ghostbusters. They're the Ghostbusters that kill mutants, basically. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they have ghost traps. They've got the packs on their backs. They say, "I'm a scientist."
And yeah. Like,
and they've got an Ecto-1 with a big M on the front of it.
Oh, man, that ride.
Which is great.
Almost runs somebody over the second they show up.
And a lot of missiles. Like, a lot more missiles than you expect to see on a regular urban sedan.
Actually, I noticed the bumper is actually another M, looking at it right now. It's a giant M as well.
Yep. Oh, man. It's great. So this story, in essence, do you want to take the lowdown on
sure.
this one? You want to give the
I'll take the lowdown on this one. So this one, as we mentioned before, is the first appearance of Jubilee, Jubilation Lee. We start off at a mall where Jubilee is performing. She's just using her mutant powers, but everyone's treating her like, oh, it's a little magic act. Isn't this fun? And her powers are mainly harmless, so it's a good time. Mall security, however,
and somebody does notice that somebody says she's a mutant, and then somebody who is also a very forward-thinking person was like, fuck you. Who cares if she's a mutant? This is cool.
Yeah, basically.
I love that.
And then one mall security guy takes exception with it, because that's the other side is that the other mall security guy is like, just let it go, dude. This doesn't matter.
Yeah, this is that fucking thin blue line you're seeing right here. It's like it takes one cop to have a vendetta and everybody backs him up.
This all of a sudden becomes very topical.
it sure does.
Then, so that's going on. And then meanwhile, in Australia, the ladies, Dazzler, Storm, Psylocke, and I'm going to ask you a question about Psylocke after this, because I've often confused about Psylocke. Dazzler, Rogue, Psylocke, and Storm. And this is Rogue with Carol Danvers driving. That's the caveat here. They decide that or Dazzler decides that they are more than just beating up bad guys. They are people, and Dazzler wants to go shopping. Yeah. And that's the premise. And then they go shopping, coincidentally, at the same mall where Jubilee is being chased by mall security, who is now called the M Squad, this Ghostbusters parody, to show up and try and take care of Jubilee because she keeps outwitting the mall security. And yes. Go.
That is, yeah. And that's literally it. And also, let's not forget that this is one of those malls that we all are familiar with that has the strip club in it. It's got your
it's a real
your regular
it's a shopping mall type shopping mall.
Okay, so it's interesting that you say that, yes. Because one of the things that I noticed in this, and I was like, anybody, the one person who listens to all of these podcasts, who might listen to the Funbox Monster podcast as well, if you listen to our episode on Chopping Mall, I believe I said, when the fuck was there ever a paint store in a mall? I call bullshit. And right here, I'm looking at a panel for Oliver's Paints. Right here in this, someone took the time to be like, Silvestri was like, one thing I know about malls, it's got a fucking paint store in it.
Absolutely.
That's all I know. That's the only thing that people know about malls. So apparently, fuck me.
It's the Hollywood Mall. It's got everything.
I thought that was cool. Yeah. I mean, I assume this is that mall. I can't remember the name of it. The Commando Mall and all of those. That's what it's based on. Mm-hmm. I mean, except it's in Australia, or did they teleport to?
They teleport to the United States.
Okay, so they've teleported to the United States. That's why all of those skaters are so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming Jubilee's SoCal. That's my assumption.
Yes, oh, that's true. Oh yeah, that's a good point. Right. Yes, she is.
Okay.
So that makes sense. So yeah, this is probably that mall.
And you're right. The skaters are very cool. I love that scene.
I do too. I love the fact that they kind of save the day in this one. They get like three panels, and essentially it's like, hey, those cops are dicks. Would you want to go trip them?
Radical.
Yes. You know what would be radical? Assaulting a police officer would be pretty radical. And speaking of radical, giving mall cops pistols is pretty radical in the bad way. Holy shit. That is a bad idea.
Now,
Galleria Mall, that's what I'm thinking of. The Galleria Mall is where Chopping Mall and Commando are shot.
In defense of the mall security, if I may.
Yes.
Jubilee does tear down a giant art installation. Or she's at least swinging from it. Which I think any mall security would be like, now hey now. That's a bit much.
I would call that entrapment, because she would not swing from that giant art installation if 15 mall cops didn't try to corner her, one of whom has made it clear that he wants to shoot
her. That's true.
He has said out loud, don't tempt me, I will shoot her. And so, you know, fuck those guys.
It's true. If this is on Night Court, she'd get off. I'm going to say that right now.
Absolutely. 100%.
And then so, we get a magic trick from the judge, and then we'd move on to the next case.
Oh, Harry Stone, you were too good for us. So we have all of that going on at the Galleria, and then there's all of this like nonsense going on back in Australia. Shit explodes. You get a full-on Marvel Bethume, where something, the wall blows out, and Rogue is having a little snit fit, and she's just breaking everything, including like literal buildings, because she's pissed off that Carol Danvers took over her body and redecorated her apartment really nicely.
It does look good.
It's like you fall asleep and somebody's cleaned your house, and then you have a real problem. It's kind of a, come on. Those are the problems you want to have. The fuck?
I mean, if
it's like she's doing all the shit work.
I would like a worm like that, to be honest with you. I'm not going to. It's pretty good. It's pretty good looking.
Completely in it. I mean, and all of this, of course, is just an excuse to throw Storm into Betsy Braddock's bathtub for some what the 80s Marvel equivalent of TNA is.
Yeah, I mean, it's wicked cheesecake. So. Now, question for you. I'm going to touch upon Psylocke for a second, because I know Tony's explained this to me before.
Oh, God.
How this works.
Okay.
Which Psylocke is this? Is this British?
This is Betsy
Braddock.
This
is British Psylocke.
Yes, okay. I believe so, yes. And I think that's why she has the siege, whatever the fuck it is, because that's a that's some sort of Excalibur, like British fairy world,
okay,
magic item. So it belongs to the Braddock family.
Gotcha.
And so that is definitely. I mean, this is the ninja Psylocke was like a. I mean, God, that was much later than this.
Okay.
I don't think they had fucked with her character at all at this point.
Okay.
And that would make her like the only character they hadn't completely fucked with at this point, because everyone else in this lineup has had like six iterations. So, which I love. I love the fact this is a book to me that makes a good argument for reboots,
mm-hmm.
for like nixing continuity and starting fresh. And I know that it makes people sad, because when you have this like fondness for these characters and you've built these personalities, restarting is a bummer, because you're following them because you care about the characters.
Right.
But especially in the X-Men world, there was something very cool about how important it was to the story that all of these big crossover events happened. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, remember that thing that happened, and then this other giant event crossover happened, and that was pretty important, too. And I thought, I don't know, I liked it. I liked that they were mentioning the past events. But then once you have 70 years of continuity, and you go back and you're like, well, do you remember what happened on M-Day, and then before that when it happened, and then the Hellfire Club, and then you remember that, and it's like you go back and back and back and back and back and back.
Right.
And there's just so much baggage. The level of baggage is just overwhelms the character.
Especially for
and so you just have
characters that don't seemingly age.
Right, exactly. These people that look like they're in their mid-20s, having had, you know, seven lifetimes of crazy shit happen to them, it does become very difficult, which is exactly why I've said they need to kill Garfield. But I'm not going to go into that right now. You know my feeling. You know that I've been saying kill Garfield for years.
I can't think of a day where you haven't said it while brandishing a knife.
I mean, sometimes I just rip off my shirt and show the dead Garfield tattoo that I have on my chest.
I mean, the amount of times I've received mail that is directly from Jim Davis saying, please leave me alone, sir. It's a cartoon cat. It's,
you know, not to me.
I mean, clearly you've made your stance. You stand by it, you know, and
some of us have integrity.
Some, if that's what you want to call it, if that's what you want to call it. Hey, speaking of integrity.
Oh, yes.
One of the things I enjoy about this issue that I was reading is that this is an older issue. However, almost all female. With the exception of one male X-Men member, which is Colossus, who gets a bed thrown at him and then gets another chair thrown at him. And then basically he's like, I'm out. He's like, I don't know what's going on in here, but I'm leaving. Yeah. Good day to you, ladies.
I definitely enjoyed that. This has nothing to do with me. I think I'm going to go elsewhere. And I also, speaking of that, I love the fact that they bring up Wolverine is missing. Like, this is one of those, like, you know, sorry, Wolverine's not here, because we need to explain where he goes for all of these adventures in Madripoor and wherever else.
Yep.
When he's, like, running around in the Yukon or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, by the way, sometimes he's just not here because he's off gallivanting.
Like they call it a walkabout.
Yeah, this was a time when Crocodile Dundee had just come out and Australian culture was very popular.
Is what that time?
I mean, that's my... I don't know. Was this actually that?
I don't think so. I don't know what. I don't think so at all. I don't know when this was. We'll put that in the omissions. That we.
No, I think this was entirely based. I think this is an entirely Crocodile Dundee based issue.
God, I wish.
Yes. So, yeah. So M Squad is just like, they are a here and gone thing. Like, no one gives a shit about M Squad after this because they are literally just a, they're a joke. They're a cartoon joke about the Ghostbusters, which is, again, fairly topical. So yeah. And the only other male character is this stripper that Storm dances with. They're in the middle of this.
You're just
going
to jump right to that. Okay.
I'm sorry. I've got to. Okay. You know what? I will also say, it is fucked up that Carol is driving Rogue and then goes and gets a haircut. That is weird.
Yeah, and it's not a great one either.
Well, it kind of is.
Yeah, but
it's funny though because it is a Miss Marvel haircut.
Yeah.
She gets a haircut that makes it look like she has Miss Marvel's hair. And to be fair, Rogue's hair before was really fucked up. Like,
yeah.
She had the two parts on the side. It parted in two different sections where it became big on the side. Like if Wolverine had like an afro, like if Wolverine's hair went out like 4 feet, it would look like that. It's just
it
like two big flock of seagulls wings. And then the white stripe down the middle is flattened back. Mm-hmm. So it's like a reverse mohawk.
I'm looking at it right now.
It's a real weird look. So, you know, getting that haircut, I'm going to say is, and again, this is a time when someone's hair would change in a comic book and they'd go, I got a haircut and here I am getting this haircut. Mm-hmm. And audiences needed to see them get the fucking haircut. Otherwise they were like, whoa, what the hell?
Yeah.
I don't believe this. This is, you're freaking.
Yeah. Me. I mean,
and I think that's cool.
They all get haircuts. I think, Storm comes out great.
Yeah, Storm. You know, Storm always looks great. She's always got
a great
haircut.
She pulls any look.
I mean, Mohawk Storm is the best Storm, but, you know, they all look
good. Betsy getting the perm. You know?
That was a weird
choice.
I only noticed that just now as I was looking at it. You know what? I don't hate it.
They can do whatever they want, honestly. I mean, like, the other thing that Carol picks out is that like almost like flamenco dancer dress.
Yeah, that was weird. That's a weird look, but you know, it's not so bad. She assumes that Rogue is going to murder her for it somehow, but
even though she can't.
Right. But I mean, they've already established there's a point where they're trying. She asks Betsy to take her out of her head, and she's like, I can't. And that's another thing that comes up here, where it's like, because of something with Rogue's power set, she's not immune to psychic stuff, but she's much more difficult to read psychically.
Mm-hmm.
And they start to say that about Jubilee here, too, where they're like, there's a moment where they're trying to find her in the mall.
That's right.
You know what? I can't find her. It's strange because I should be able to see her psychically. And I think that they were probably about to do something cool with her and then either forgot that they even said it when he wrote it or just decided that it wasn't as cool as they thought it was, whatever they were going to go for with her.
Well, that's Jubilee's history in a nutshell, isn't it?
Oh, it's so rough.
Like, they always seem like they're going to do something cool with her and then they just hit the brakes.
Yeah, they have. I feel like of all the characters that I like in X-Men, with the exception of Maggot, I think she has gotten the rawest of deals.
think about that sentence.
Listen,
that you just said.
I will go on record as saying that Maggot is my favorite X-Men, and I want more of him. Sorry, I love, and there are threes of us out there who feel this way.
Tristan Gallagher loves Maggot the X-Man, will kill Garfield on sight.
That's my bio. You got it. That's what I write on every employee evaluation form that I've ever filled out.
It was very strange. It's like, that's interesting.
Yeah. And this is why I'm firing you from Kinko's. Yeah.
That's what it takes to get fired from Kinko's. So,
Jesus. Yeah. I literally like ripped my shirt off and threw it at my manager, and they tried to hire me back.
That sounds about right.
So yeah, it's tough to get fired from Kinko's.
He's the only employee that hasn't pissed on all the papers, so we have to keep him.
Oh shit. Let's see.
So let's talk about the stripper. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the stripper.
Okay, we'll talk about the stripper. We do need to talk about Jubilee's history though, because it is fucked up.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll get there.
Okay, let's talk stripper.
So this
first.
This stripper, I mean, are we
who I thought was Gambit.
See, I was thinking this is obviously Patrick Swayze.
Yes, I guess that is probably true.
I that's what I thought they were going for is Patrick Swayze. And I also enjoy that when the stripper shows up, that Betsy audibly yells, "Blush!"
What?
She does.
I think I missed that.
Because they like okay. The stripper shows up. Okay.
Oh, so is this like Kevin Sorbo when he read the wrong thing in his script and screams, "Disappointed!" And that was supposed to be a script note?
I think so. Because she's thinking, okay. She's thinking she can hear all the thoughts from the audience. And there's a thought bubble that says the yep. thoughts from the audience, and then it stops. And then it's a word balloon, and it says, "Blush!"
Yeah, her mouth is not open in a way that she's actually saying anything. I don't know. I think that might have been a misinterpretation, but maybe she is saying blush.
But I like the idea of her seeing a shirtless man and going, "Blush!
Blush!" She's crying out to her makeup person. Yeah. Yes. So apparently they're worried that Storm is too straight-laced, and so they tip a stripper to bring her up on stage like that, like Courtney Cox in that Bruce Springsteen video.
Yep.
And she's going to dance with him. And they're all surprised when she actually does dance and lets loose for the first time. And that's about it.
Yeah.
And then they try to murder Jubilee. So
yeah, with an Inferno device. Is that what this is?
What's that?
They say it looks like a machine from Inferno.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, that would be weird. I mean, Inferno did just happen before this, right? So
Where is it? Yeah. Module looks like something left over from Inferno, and hungry is a great white. Is what people say to each other.
Yeah. That's a way that humans talk. That's cool. Yeah. Wow. It's super weird. And so, yeah, they do. They literally have essentially the Ghostbusters proton packs, and they grab hold of Jubilee, and she's being sucked into essentially a ghost trap, except that this ghost trap is just going to blend her up in like a wood chipper.
Yeah.
Like, if that's your plan, mutants will blend up in wood chippers too. I mean, with the exception, some notable exceptions, but you know,
unless
Jubilee
unless
would
you're
definitely,
a blastin', then you should be fine.
Unless it's say a Colossus or someone like that, it's probably going to, that would be problematic for a wood chipper, but a Jubilee should go through no problem.
Yeah.
But instead they do have this mutant wood chipper that they're dragging her into. And then they're surprised that it's going to kill her. And then they basically say, fuck it. Who cares?
Well, so here's the thing. Here's the thing about this. So let's run through this again. So mall security, one mall security guy doesn't like this girl that goes to the mall.
Yep.
So he calls a group called the M Squad, and they show up with a giant blender and try to throw her in it.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
They show up in a car covered in what look like missiles, what look like bombs.
Yeah.
And then go into the mall that is fully occupied with some sort of guns, and then try to put a teenage girl into a wood chipper.
And they were hired to do this.
They have been paid money by a dude who's making just about minimum wage working as a mall cop. He has taken money out of his measly paycheck to pay them what's probably 3 to 4 weeks worth of his salary just to murder this child.
Yeah.
That's how dedicated he is to child murder.
Yes. And then it seems like they're going to call the cops. And then that's where it ends.
I mean, I think they did call the cops. I think they are being arrested.
There's like a bunch of
at the end of this.
I don't know. There's like a bunch of word bubbles.
Because it does say police right to remain silent. We have rights. We can explain reckless endangerment, assault. But you know, they're saying all these things. So clearly it is the police who are arresting them, saying, hey, you know, it actually is illegal to kill teenagers. I'm sorry. I don't know where you've been, but totally, totally not okay.
Someone had to step in and say that.
Someone had to explain that to them. And so they basically, holy shit. And then, you know, our four ladies pop back through the portal,
yep,
and go back to Australia. Now, oh, and Jubilee basically like sees it closing and she runs in behind them. And that's how she joins the X-Men. But my question is, what's up with this portal? Isn't that supposed to be Gateway? Don't you have to talk to Gateway to have that portal open? Or is that like a portal that he's just left there? That it's just like,
my guess, if you want a no prize, Betsy.
Can she do
telepathically?
Oh, she can talk to, right. Yeah. Okay. All right. That is a good no prize. I was just, yeah.
Thank you.
Perfect. And that is their teleporter at this point is Gateway, who is an Aboriginal character who basically sits on a cliff with a bull roarer, which is a thing on the end of a string that just makes a crazy noise, and he uses that to open portals into wherever. I honestly, as much as all this stuff is like kind of weird stereotypical Australian stuff that they use for all this, I kind of love it all. Like, this era is so fun to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just nostalgia, but there's something about the balance in the comic of being just silly shit and then turning on a dime to really like really important character stuff. And it's able to do it in a way that it feels like anybody else other than Claremont who wrote this would just be like, it would seem disingenuous. It wouldn't flow. It would just kind of like, it would just butt up against itself. Mm-hmm. But this, it's just like, you're like, okay, the drama's done. And now we're going to go into Goofy Town. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Like I said, I'd never read this before. Like this, I'm the person who saw the cartoon first and now I'm going back and reading this, but this is,
does a mall baby eat cheese fries?
You know it. but no, this is one of those issues that I think, where the X-Men really shined was that they could build those interpersonal relationships very easily, but it didn't feel corny, I guess. You know, like where a lot of times where I feel like a Fantastic Four comic where they try to build the interpersonal relationships and it's kind of like, oh, Jesus, here we go, you know?
Absolutely. And I totally agree.
And I love the Fantastic Four, but there's a lot of times where, like I've told you, every time they go back to Yancey Street, I'm like, Jesus Christ. I can't.
I just got to take care of these kids in the Yancey Street gang.
It's like, what, these 1920s urchins? What are they still doing here? Like, Ben,
we're trapped in time, mister.
Yeah. They need to be clobbered, but
we've been cursed.
You know, but like, this is a great issue for Dazzler. You know, like if you don't know anything about Dazzler, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And like I my wife had never heard of Dazzler before, but yet loves disco. I was like, get ready for a roller skating mutant that looks like a disco ball. She sings and that gives her power to shoot light beams. Yeah. I was like, this is great. You're gonna love this. It's great.
Dazzler. Speaking of crazy pants,
yeah.
I don't know. I've read all of this stuff about Dazzler. I don't know if it is true, but I want it to be true so badly that she was supposed to be Grace Jones. That back in the day,
wow,
the character was created to literally be Grace Jones. And that Grace Jones was going to portray Dazzler as a disco queen in real life.
Oh.
She was going to do stadium shows as this X-Men character. And they were going to put out Dazzler comics where she's Dazzler. And then something went wrong. I don't know. They found out just how totally bonkers Grace Jones is, and they went, "Oh, we can't work with her. She's going to stab us." And that was probably
man. It. That would have been awesome, though,
because that is my favorite part of the Dolph Lundgren book that I read, which I did read. I don't know why, but
you know why.
Dolph Lundgren dated her for a very long time, and he was like. And then one day she just came in with two steak knives and tried to stab me because I'd been talking to this girl down the street or something like that. And I was like, you know what? I think I really need to leave. And that was the end of it.
That was it.
It's like, is that all it took, buddy?
There had been a lot of things.
Dolph Lundgren, I thought you were. You know. There were some things leading up to it, but mostly the stabbing, yeah. Mostly the steak knives. I still love Grace Jones and would have absolutely been so all in on a Grace Jones live show as a mutant named Dazzler.
Oh my god, on roller skates,
especially if she was like on roller skates, like, oh man. The best,
man.
Still, Dazzler's a great character.
Yeah,
and it's funny how I like her as a disco era character, and I wish they had Brady Bunch movied her in that she never changed. I kind of didn't like the fact that she was in whatever cool musical genre came next.
Mm-hmm.
So like 5 years ago, she was in a punk band. She was in like some sort of like down and dirty hardcore band in like her most recent iteration. And it's like, sure. But imagine if she was still doing disco hits and she was kind of washed up and everyone was like, why are you still doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be better?
That would be fun.
That'd be more fun.
Yeah, I think they kind of give her like a Madonna type treatment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's she has recovered to Madonna era right now because that was what was in this book. That's what was hit.
Yeah.
At the time, I mean, Jesus, Tony Hawk named a move after Madonna because she was so hip at the time.
one of the little things I like about this shirt is. Something very of the time for the art, but anytime they want to show someone in like a counterculture type t-shirt, it's always a smiley face. Like the skateboarder has a smiley face through a knife of it, and Jubilee is also wearing a smiley face t-shirt.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, we can't give him like any type of logo or anything for like, you know, legal reasons. So it's like we got to think of something,
right.
Something hip and cool the kids wear. And it's always something like
which is hilarious because when this is released in the UK, they won't be able to do that because in the UK, the smiley face is copywritten. So because that's when that was the Watchmen problem.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah. Oh my god.
Also,
I love this cop when he's really mad jumping with both feet. Oh my god. Like he's launching, he's so angry, he's holding his hat down with two hands, like a real like Barney Fife crazy cartoonish thing.
Yep.
Love that. Oh my god. So all right, Jubilee. Let's get back to Jubilee.
One question real quick.
So oh yeah, okay.
How do you feel about the mall? Okay. How do you feel about the mall skaters wearing pads?
Listen, as an adult, I think it's very responsible. If they had been around me, I would have beaten them up at the time. But but now I think that's a very good idea. You know, we're all very fragile, and as an old person, I've found that it really hurts when you fall down on a skateboard at 45 years old. Turns out it's painful as fuck, and you shouldn't do it. And really, old people were not meant to skateboard. Mm-hmm. Oh god!
So buy your pads down at Coast City Comics, kids. They're available online in retro styles.
Oh, we probably have the same. Yeah, because I think we have these exact Pro-Tech pads that these kids are wearing because they're the old Thrashin' pads, the blue and yellow and red.
Assault the mall cop today. Get the official pads and recreate the scene from Uncanny X-Men number 244. Shop CoastCityComics.com right now.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that is a thing I don't do enough. A quick commercial. Yes. Hey,
done.
We need to do this to make money. And please do buy your books through us, buy toys through us, buy skateboards through us. we carry a lot of things. So shop on our website. I need that money because I am technically not open because of COVID and all these other things. And also because I literally tore my fucking store to pieces during this whole thing. And it's taken me forever to put it back together. So those things, yeah, shop at ghostcitycomics.com. Anyway, Jubilee. Okay. She has had a storied history.
Fill me in.
It's been spotty. So she basically was like a fill-in for Kitty Pryde at this era. So Kitty Pryde had kind of left and had been, you know, had moved on. She went into Excalibur and all that shit. But Wolverine still needed a young girl to mentor. So in comes, I know, it seems very inappropriate now.
I made air quotes, just so everyone knows.
Yes, still, yeah, but still, I can't help it. I still love those fucking stories. Like, I very much enjoy the dynamic of the kid sister to Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's super fun. And she's never been powered up that I know of. Like, she's always been, I mean, I wouldn't say worthless, but obviously she has increased incrementally since this appearance in being able to do things. The fireworks have been trained to do a little bit more than just sparkle. They can actually do damage and like blind people, blah, blah, blah. But they're not like it. Like, she's hanging around with blow up building mutants.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of like, ow, my face powers.
Yeah.
It's not great. They give her, in this issue, they give her a history of being an acrobat or being a gymnast. So she has that going for her, so that to explain why she's a little more superheroic than, but I mean, it's still, she's always kind of there to be not useful. She's kind of there to be a dead weight.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they, I don't feel like they ever got her to the point where she was, I mean, she was always a useful member of the team because of the way that they'd write the stories, but it always felt like they had to write her in to be useful if she ever was. She never really, and then they turned her into a fucking vampire. but fuck. that was the worst. And the fact that stuck around for as long as it did was just a bummer. Like, that's one of those mistakes that you make, you know, once in the 80s. You're like, oh, Storm's a vampire. She's the queen of the vampires now. Okay, now she's not. Good. Fucking stop.
Yeah.
She's no longer queen of the vampires. We're all happy. I mean, Storm's queen of the vampires lasted three issues, something like mm-hmm. that. Not very long. Jubilee's lasted 4 years, 3 years, something like that. Like, she was a vampire for fucking ever. Yeah.
And she...
And I don't even...
She was a single mom vampire.
Is she now a vampire?
She
was a single mom vampire.
Yep.
Oh.
She...
It's a great sitcom.
I remember this now. She was fighting somebody, and this is when... the important thing to remember here is that Quentin Quire had a piece of the Phoenix Force.
Oh.
And yes, she got thrown through a wall by somebody, and she was in direct sunlight, and she was dying. And then Quentin Quire used his Phoenix Force to save her, but it also purged the vampire from her.
Really?
Yes.
I do not remember that at
all. Yeah, it was...
Was that during the Fraction run?
No, it was before Dawn of X. It was during that time when nobody was reading it.
Right. That would make sense, because even I was having a hard time. I was reading Red... I loved Red. Thought that was fun. I read Gold off and on. Blue was not great.
It always struggled. That was because the problem with the X-Men books was that you knew they weren't putting their weight behind it.
Yep. That was such a sad time.
Yeah.
Just being like, just watching people intentionally not being able to write good stories. Like, I mean, obviously the writers at the time were doing their best. But they had edicts to not create new characters because they'd be owned by Fox and all this other shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was sad. And it's sad that the only way that this came back together was by a horrible corporate merger or hostile takeover or whatever the fuck happened.
Right.
It's a bummer, but I'm just going to call it a happy side effect of the terrible business practices of Disney that I get good X-Men comics again, because I fucking love Dawn of X. Marauders is awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm stoked on all of these stories. I love X-Force. A lot of people have been kind of hot and cold on it. I think it's great. Like, I think it's a fun throwback for me. I'm enjoying almost everything. I'm not following Excalibur, but I did like the few issues that I read of it. I thought they were cool. There were crazy things happening, and I was like, "Oh, I think I could get behind this at some point."
I think they have.
It's now out in trade, so maybe I should try.
Yeah, it has something for everybody. I think each title has a little bit of something for everybody out there, and I think
I agree.
And the X-Men proper, that book is brilliant. Yeah. And I love what they've done with Apocalypse. Like, the whole idea of mixing in the villains mm-hmm. into everything has been fantastic. So it's
that's been great.
You know, I haven't read all the X-Men, but I can recognize when this is really good X-Men. We're in a good time.
Yes. This is definitely as good as it gets for X-Men. I mean, Hickman was like locked on an island for weeks, just doing nothing but plotting with like big pieces of string and being like tying things together.
Yeah.
And I think this big crazy plant people crossover going on right now is going to be big into that as well. So I'm interested in that as well, because Empire is centering around those crazy plant people. So
yeah,
I think Krakoa and plant people are going to be a big deal. Apropos of nothing,
mm-hmm.
except for obviously X-Men. What the fuck's the deal with Krakoa? Do you know anything about
this? It's a living island.
So, right. I read the first encounter of the X-Men in Krakoa, and it was like, Krakoa was like a villain.
Yes.
Basically, like, it's a piece of land that itself is a mutant that needs to feed on mutant energy. And so it's sucking the life force out of mutants. Did they ever address that in Dawn of X or any of those series?
Yeah.
Why he doesn't need to do that? Because, I mean, obviously it's Hickman, so it's not going to be like, it was all a dream, they were all matrixed in a plant or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're totally not going to do that. But it definitely has a weird feeling like, oh God, are they all matrixed in a plant?
I don't know if they've ever addressed that. I'm sure there probably is like a bit of dialogue, you know, of like,
I'm sure,
you know, Xavier talking to Forge or Cypher or something like that, and they're just being like, oh yes, he doesn't need to do that anymore for XYZ reason, or
yeah,
or
I'm
it's
sure.
a written I'm Krakoa, sure. not a coffee mug or something like that.
Ugh, fuckers.
You know?
Yeah. You know what? I still love all of that stuff too. I find that stuff really fun. I mean, when in the old X-Force, when Dupe would talk, and there was all the Dupe speak, and you could translate Dupe's talk from Wolverine and the X-Men and all those series.
Yep.
I loved that. I thought that was really fun. I translated all those dumb things. You know, I went online and had somebody else who was good at math translate them. But
yeah. Oh, here's something. I'm looking at the wiki right now for Krakoa. It says that Professor X was capable of subtly manipulating his mind. So he could manipulate the island, and I'm wondering if that's what's been going on.
Okay.
He's being Professor X.
You know, and
the dude's shady.
He is. I know, and I hate that. I hate how shady they always make Professor X. I like him better when he's not a douchebag. Is that weird?
I think he's more interesting as a douchebag, though.
I think it's more interesting when everybody presumes him to be a douchebag, and then they realize why he's been doing what he's doing, because he's 10 times smarter than everyone else around mm-hmm. him. You know, I always thought of him as sort of the opposite of, you know, sort of like two sides of the same coin with Reed Richards, except that Reed Richards always fucks up, and Xavier always does the right thing.
Yeah.
Like, except that that isn't the way that it works. Like, I feel like it would work better for me. Like, I would enjoy it more if he was always, like, doing the right thing and everybody mistook him for that. But because with Reed, you know that he's always going to fuck everything up. Like, every time it's like, I have a great plan and it's going to save everyone and there's wheat for everyone. And it's like, oh, great. Now there's mutant wheat bugs that have eaten the entire populace of California.
Whoops.
Great. Thanks so much. Yep. Gonna have to get rid of those wheat bugs. I've developed a strain of cat that is radioactive and it'll eat all of the bugs. Oh, fuck. It's eating all the people again.
All right.
Fantastic Four house.
Here's something for you.
Okay.
So, also on the Krakoa wiki, Amalgam Comics.
Ooh. Nice.
Krakoa was combined with Dinosaur Island to become Krakoa, the Living Dinosaur Island. And that's the end of comics. It doesn't get any better than that.
And why make more comics?
Exactly.
It seems like a...
Holy shit.
They've said all they need to say. Absolutely fucking
my
amazing.
Eyes just lit up when I saw that. I was like, oh man, we gotta look that up.
Oh, we gotta do an amalgam at some point too.
Oh boy.
Love those.
Speaking of Jubilee and that one, what a gimme that was for DC.
What's that?
When they had the DC versus Marvel matchup and it was Robin versus Jubilee.
Oh, yeah. That's unfair.
That was a mulligan. They were just like, here you go.
That's a present to Marvel.
Yeah, because
because
Robin like threw his cape down, she blasted it with fireworks, and then he just like knocked her down. And she was like, ah, crap. And he was like, yeah, you're not very good at this.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was all about voting too, though, right?
It was
like everybody, you voted for who won.
Yep.
And so it was like Wolverine fought Lobo and beat him.
Yeah, like, of course.
It like, that it doesn't track with the way that they write the characters, but you know, that's great.
Yeah, it's weird how a lot of the characters that won were popular at the time are not popular now. So it'd be interesting to go back and see how those ones did.
I would like to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to do at least one of those. Because those were fun. I love
those are wild. Books. Yeah. I enjoyed those a lot. But X-Men.
Yeah. There's yes. Well, that's the thing is I don't know what we're doing with this. I talked to Bob and he was like, you should do Milestone. And I was like, that's cool, but I don't know DC very well. So
yeah.
Maybe we grab Bob for a Milestone book, like Static or, you know, or one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could go for a weirder one, like one of the other characters that was a little more obscure, which would make our job way harder. But
yeah,
but it might be cool.
Or we could do the so much hyper Christian Archies. We could do those too.
Oh my God! I don't know what happened. Somewhere in one of the boxes, I do have that the one that everyone looks for, the girl who loved the swastika. Whatever that one is.
Yep.
I have that somewhere. So maybe we could do that.
Those are wild.
That is a fucking trip.
It sure is. I remember looking at that.
That is crazy. Yeah. That is a legitimate crazy book. But yeah. So we're making this shit. We're making this podcast up as we go. So we can kind of do anything we want. So.
Oh, I remember one thing I wanted to do. Remember, I told you I screwed up last week big time.
Oh yes, please.
All right.
Gimme.
All right.
Okay, omissions and retractions and corrections.
Yes. We'll find some type of Paul Scheer song to put on there, I'm sure.
Perfect. Be fine.
So Banshee, first off, I said he was Scottish like 15 times. Wrong.
Oh yes.
Very Irish.
No, we did absolutely correct that in the episode.
Did we?
Yeah, we 100% did. And Siren is his kid.
Siren is his daughter. Okay, because we weren't sure how he was related.
And is there some relation? Now we're going to fuck
with Black Tom Cassidy. He's his cousin.
Yes. Well, right. We got that.
Did we?
I think that was.
I don't think we mentioned that.
I think we did. I think we had to, because we had to explain why the X-Men were at Black Tom Cassidy's castle being attacked by fucking leprechauns.
That's true.
No, they were being saved by leprechauns. I apologize.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring that up every episode, so that's going to be fun.
So that,
because it is the funniest thing that's ever happened.
That I screwed up. So I am owning that I did a bad job knowing about all that.
I definitely got a few corrections sent to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I will try to remember those and get them out. And I think I did make a couple of corrections in the regular comics podcast this week. So
okay.
I think we're in the clear. Any mistakes that we make this week, somebody call me on and I will try to call them out next week.
Absolutely.
Because we're gonna fuck things up. That's absolutely no way that we can get all this stuff right.
And
especially because 90% of this I'm pulling from.
Oh yeah. So. And the other one is that we did talk about that Juggernaut story for a hot minute. Yeah. I looked it up. It's called The Eighth Day. I was right that it was a crossover event between Spider-Man and Iron Man, but also Thor.
Okay.
And
that was the
one where it's they pick representatives of. So I'll read the event synopsis. Eight great mystic entities entered into a wager of the Octessence to determine who among them was the most powerful. Farala, Sidorak, Balthak, Icon, Ragador, Watoom from
oh fucking Watoom,
the Scepter of Watoom.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Valtor and Kraken. And that's the story. It's a crossover event from all these issues. Different people get each items from each of those gods, and then they all fight.
Nice. And I presume Juggernaut, the whoever got the Gem of Sidorak, kicked everybody's ass.
Yeah, Cade Marco Juggernaut wins in the end. And it has no consequences for any story going forward.
That sounds about right.
Yep.
Amazing. Cool. Well, that's all incredible information that is very important. No, none of this is important. I'm just hoping people dig listening to it. Whatever. Yeah. anyway, that's. Do you have anything further?
I one last thing. There was one panel in this X-Men issue that I really enjoyed, and I think we should share this on Instagram. It's the the actual flyer for M Squad.
Yes.
Where it says Mutant Hunters Extraordinaire. Why pay more? Save money. So that implies there's more than one service, and that they charge a lot. And then it also says call now and get a free stray toaster.
Oh, there you go. That's a good throw.
So there you go.
Who doesn't love stray toasters?
Exactly.
Oh, shit, that's amazing.
So yeah, I enjoyed that. A lot of things that it implies there, and I really enjoy. But we should probably share that.
Yeah, that's great. That is absolutely amazing. I didn't know that there was like a Sienkiewicz homage in that panel. Mm-hmm. So that's great. that's good news. Sweet. And also, read Stray Toasters. It's great. How about that?
Hey, why not?
And that's the deal. We will see you next week, and we'll talk about some other dumb thing. And we'll have an Instagram eventually. If you may have noticed, I'm at my limit for Instagrams. I have like 16. So
real fancy pants here.
I have maxed out my phone in Instagrams. The Rad Wraith Instagram is actually through my iPad because I had to do another one because you can only have either 4 or 5 on one device.
Really? I didn't know they had a limit.
Yep. So I had to open my other one on another device entirely. So this one will be on something else, or you can open it. How about you do
it? Okay, fine. I'll do it.
Fine.
I will.
Fine.
Okay, great.
That's great. Oh,
get ready for some exciting content. I think you're going to really enjoy it.
Maybe this tent is going to be out of control. I love it.
All right.
awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. And you can follow us on whatever the thing is that we'll get to you next week.
Yeah, it's a work in progress. You'll find it.
It's a work in progress. I love it. Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a good night. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Stop recording.